The lesson tonight is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, and you'll find it on page 1135. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Before I came to know the Lord, this has been one of the prime questions that was lingering in my heart. This is about the second commandment, what Jesus has taught to us. Love your neighbor as yourself. I was really struggling on this. Whenever I met some Christian friends, they say that as Christians, we need to love one another. And I remember the story they used to share based on this concept. It is about a person going and asking God how the heaven and hell it would be. And God took him to the hell first. And he showed him there. There was a big dining table and people were sitting around the table and the feast was ready for them to eat. They were given long spoons and forks to use. But the people were looking very sad, upset, and not satisfied. They were taking the soup with the long spoon, and they were trying to bring it closer to their mouth. It was too difficult. They couldn't eat it, so they were upset. Then the Lord took the person to the heaven side. And there was a similar scene. There was a big dining table and people were sitting around and the feast was ready for them to eat. Here, the people were looking very happy. And they were all joyful and enjoying, feel like they were filled. And the person gave a deeper look into that. And he found that they were taking the same long spoon with the soup, the soup, and they were feeding each other who were sitting across the table. So that was possible. So people were happy in that case. This story was told as Christians who tend to intended to go to heaven, they have to be like this. They have to help each other in showing their love. I was convinced while seeing the after effect of the story, they were helping each other, they were feeding one another, that is the resultant action of the love. But my question was still, how, firstly, the love could be initiated? And I was thinking, love is an element, and is still it is that, like it should come naturally. And it should come neither by demands or by instructions. It should come on its own. For example, if I ask George to give this book to Ruth, can you please give this book to Ruth, George? Yes, it is possible. And if I ask Diane to say to me, I invite you for dinner tomorrow, it's just, it's not real, just a joke. You can tell. I won't. Yes. So it is possible. But can we say to someone, asking them, go and tell the person who is standing there at the edge of the corner, I love you? It involves a lot behind that. And it involves not only it is not a simple statement or a single action. It is a continuous process, and it should come not by command or by any instructions. And similarly, if someone takes the authority to regulate this love, and still the love cannot be a genuine one, and it cannot be a real one. Still, I am now, before coming to the Lord, when I read this verse, the very popular verse, every Christian believer who is coming into the Lord will be reading this one first. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. I had a struggle. This was all before I came to the Lord. I had a struggle in reading even the first two few sentences there. Yes, I can understand, and I was asking, my question was, why did he send his son to the world? The answer I received was, yes, he sent his son to die for our sins. Still, I was not satisfied. I was thinking, I can understand completely God is loving the world, but the same loving God, why should he send his son to die for the sake of his love on this world? Later, I was convinced, reading this particular verses from the Bible, that Jesus came willingly offering himself. And that was the genuine love. He was not forced by anyone. John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If you read John 10 between 11 and 18, between few verses, almost five times it is saying about he is giving his life for the sheep. He was willingly gave his life for the people for the salvation's sake. Literally, the word gives can be translated as laying himself. That was in the, you can see that in NIV as well. Verse 15, it says, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. 17, I lay down my life only to take it up again. 18, but I lay it down. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. I liked the way Jesus volunteered himself, going through humble obedience in honoring the Lord. It is not that Lord has sent his son to punish him on the cross for our sins. It was voluntarily giving himself. That was the action. I was really impressed and overwhelmed. What a love it is. Have we volunteered ourselves for something like that? Perhaps we might have volunteered, like giving willingly, give ourselves, helping one of the old members in the church to do weekend shopping. Or willingly gave ourselves in helping the next door neighbor doing their gardening. I'm not telling Richard here. So, willingly gave himself and volunteering oneself is different from if someone is asking or told him to do so. We may be doing, as Christians, if someone has asked us to do something, we may be doing it, but it cannot be a genuine one. It is not coming from the action of volunteering. Then my question followed, what is basically love means? Can we simply define that in a single statement? And I came to know the true and real meaning of love only after knowing who Jesus is. I heard verses saying, Jesus loves you. God loves you. My question before I came to the Lord was, why should God love me? Because the many gods I have known so far until then was not having a personal connection with the human. It is something like the person who is in need of something will go to God and ask him whatever he wants, and the God will give what the person has asked. That was that sort of relationship and connection was there between gods, the so-called gods, and human. But only in Christendom, the interesting theme I found that it was connecting God and human through the word love. And this word is not written somewhere in the manuscript and seeing that God is love and God loves you. That word was active. And that word came into action. And the worldly human mind cannot comprehend about that word of love. And Jesus explained this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The beauty in Christendom is not just Jesus has laid down his life, but he has set a model for us. And he has taught us how to live through that model. And he has given a hint for us to follow that model. It is about, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Is it possible for Christians to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters? Maybe after hearing all about God's love and how he loves us, he has filled us with love, we need to show love to one another, we may be thinking, we may be a good Samaritan in that case, after hearing all these theology and Christian doctrines, going through scripture and living a closer relationship with Lord, we may not be leaving a person on the side of the road if he is hurted or wounded, just leaving there, and we won't just pass away. We may want to go, reach out and helping him, and we prefer to take an extra mile walk with him. But laying down our lives, sacrificing our own lives for our brothers and sisters, is that possible? If the scripture says, it should be possible. And Jesus has given the hint. How can this be possible? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. That is the hint. Remaining in Christ. Remaining in Christ's love will enable us to show or lay down possibly our life for our brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was thinking about laying our life, sacrificing our life, I always marvel about Moses, particularly this verse from Exodus. Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone, so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord, his God. O Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand? Moses was pleading to God for his people. Moses was appeasing God to save his people because of the love he had with his people. Even when God said, Moses, I will make you into a great nation, leave them away. And he was saying, Lord, you have given these people for me. And please, don't get angry with those. And he was saying that, I think possibly because he was remaining in Lord's presence all the time. He was remaining in Lord's love. And that love has transformed his attitude, his mind, and his love was overflowing. And he was saying that, please don't punish my people. That's the love, pleading for people, talking on behalf of the people. And another person, which I always wonder about, Paul. Apostle Paul was saying to Romans, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. And we should know that all these verses people have used, like Moses and Paul, it is not just a statement printed on the textbook. It has a meaning behind that and the true willingness behind that. As Christians, we all are wanting and wishing to be connected with Christ all the time. We don't want our part to be removed from Christ. But here, Apostle Paul was saying, even for my own sake, my brothers, let me be cursed and cut off from Christ. I can't see anyone else, otherwise remain in Christ, can say this verse. Let me be cut off and let my brothers live. That was the love. Christ's love is immeasurable. For us to have the thorough experience and complete enjoyment in receiving Christ in the Lord, we have to earnestly pray and seek. The Lord of Sovereign will provide us the knowledge to understand the pure love what Christ has for us. Paul was praying for Ephesians that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That is a prayer we need to ask to the Lord. When we have received the true love of Christ in us, there will be two outcomes result from that. Firstly, we will be implanted in Christ, and we cannot be separated. Christ and us will become one. No force can separate that. John was reading this verse, and we can read it all together now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of Jesus, the love of Christ, is a bond connecting between us and Christ. It is not that we have done something for him to love us. He began started loving us. So this love has a stronger bond, and no other external forces can break that. In case, perhaps, if you put it in the other way, if we started loving God first and God is responding for our love, then there is a possibility for the love bond can get broken. But praise the Lord, he was the one who started loving us first. When we were sinners, when we, even before we come to know the Lord Christ, he came to know us. He started loving us. And when we received that kind of love in us, it cannot be shut within ourselves. That would be the second outward action. Firstly, we will be implanted in Christ. We will be enjoying and experiencing the love of Christ. Once we enjoyed, it cannot be shut within ourselves. And we will be compelled to share our love to the people around us. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The way and the amount of love we show to the people around reflect the way, the amount of love we are experiencing the Christ love in us. Christ has loved us once for all, and that love cannot be changed. It is ever fixed, and it is given to us already. The experience we need to have within ourselves in the love of Christ matters how much we are showing love to others. These all Jesus would have told, just finishing by the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That would be very easy. Anyone can do that. Once they come to know the Lord, they can start praying sincerely, having a devoted lifestyle like the monks in the monastery are doing, and praying for 5-a-day prayer and all those things. Anyone can love the Lord freely because he is not a demanding God. That's why God has included the second one, second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he knows what are all the effects it involves. And it is a practice. We are doing this on this earth. When I was traveling last week to Spurgeon's in the tube, there was an old man sitting in the tube. I was just standing before him. He was uttering something in his mouth. He was praying in the early morning at 6:30, half six, around that. He was praying, and every few seconds, he was looking at the person next to him, and he was giving an annoying look at the person. He looks at him, and then he will be uttering prayer. And then he looks at him, and then he will be doing prayers. I was thinking, the person who was sitting near to him was very shabby, and I could even feel the smell, and he looks like a homeless man, and he was sitting with a very shivering hands and all those things. But this man, even he could not withstand the person sitting next to him, and whatever the prayers he is uttering, I don't know whether the God would listen to those prayers and answer to those. If we are not loving the people around us, and our prayer, our love, all those devotions, it will be meaningless. And before coming to the Lord, the question, the problem, the difficulty, how to love your neighbor as yourself, was answered through all these verses. And it is finishing here, seeing how deep, wide, and stronger his love. And if we started experiencing his love in us, it would be easy to share with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your amazing love. In your love, Lord, you brought a plan of salvation for us. And in that plan of salvation, Lord, you sent the person of Christ into this earth. And he volunteered himself. He willingly offered himself. And he went into that horrible death on the cross to honor you, Father, through that humble obedience. Yes, Lord, he has set a model for us how to show that laying down our own life love. Only that can be possible if we remain in Christ's love. Help us, Lord, to remain in your love so that we can share the same love what Jesus has shown to us to the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we sing?